Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. We are learning more about a deadly shooting in Louisville, Kentucky today, where a bank employee shot up his workplace, killing at least four people and injuring nine others. CBS's Matt Piper reports.
Bank employees had just begun filing into work.
I was coming into work, getting on the elevator. I hear what I thought was gunfire. I was on the phone.
We heard a click, and the lady next to me turned around and said, "What the hell?" And then he just started shooting.
There are victims fighting for their lives at University of Louisville Hospital, including a police officer, says Interim Police Chief Jacqueline Gwen Villarreal.
Officer Nicholas Wilt, 26 years of age, just graduated from the police academy on March 31st.
She says the 23-year-old gunman acted alone. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Justin Jones has been elected as the interim successor for the vacant seat of Tennessee House District 52.
Justin Jones has been reinstated to the Tennessee legislature after getting booted last week for taking part in a gun rally. Nashville Mayor John Cooper made this plea before the big vote.
Voters in District 52 elected Justin Jones to be their voice at the State House, and that voice was taken away this past week. So let's give them their voice back, and I'd call on this body to vote unanimously right now to do just that.
Justin Pearson could be reinstated later this week. The Biden administration has formally determined that a Wall Street Journal reporter arrested on espionage charges in Russia has been wrongfully detained. That designation now elevates Evan Gershkovich's case and means a dedicated State Department official will now lead efforts to bring him back home. Professors are striking at Rutgers.
Whose university?
Their union is demanding higher pay and better job security, but hundreds hit the picket lines today after contract talks stalled with the university. Massachusetts Governor Mara Healey has signed an executive order making sure medical abortion remains legal in her state.
Abortion, medication abortion, will remain safe, legal, and accessible here in the Commonwealth.
She's also ordered state health care providers to stockpile the abortion pill after a judge in Texas ruled to stop its sale. A permanent medical clinic opened up today for people in East Palestine, Ohio, who've been exposed to toxic chemicals from a recent train derailment. Governor Mike DeWine.
This is a clinic where people can go in right now and get a baseline if they want to, and a clinic that they can go back to as we go forward.
The state is funding the whole thing to make sure people without insurance can still get treated there. The Dow added more than 100 points today. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Civic Media. I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. The richest Wisconsinites would see an average tax cut of $100,000 if a proposed flat tax is passed. The measure by Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux sets up a flat income tax of 3.25% for all taxpayers, regardless of income. The report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum also says Democratic Governor Tony Evers' proposal would mean Wisconsin residents making more than $1 million in adjusted gross income would see an average tax hike of nearly $40,000. However, it's unlikely that either measure will pass. There's been an increase in strep throat infections over previous years. The shortage of amoxicillin has made a particularly bad strep season even more difficult. The CDC tracking a variety of strep called invasive group A. Demand for antibiotics is higher than expected. Strep season usually lasts through April. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson and Wax, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson and Wax, GTWLawyers.com.
Monday morning at 8. Don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Are you an experienced industrial painter, drywall finisher, or want to be? Do you want more than a job, but a high-paying career where your interests are well-represented, ensuring a safe work environment? The International Union of Painters and Allied Trades of District Council 7 wants you. Bring your knowledge or ask about paid training. Learn more now. Call Tom Coyne, 262-488-4839, 262-488-4839, or go to the union's website, iupatdc7.com.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM.
You're listening to independent programming that has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. To learn more and to see our entire broadcast lineup, go to civicmedia.us.
Good evening, folks. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. We are here downtown Waukesha on a gloomy, drizzly night. April 3rd, tomorrow, April 4th, 2023. That election is going to tell us a lot about the future of Wisconsin, where we're going, where democracy stands, not only in Wisconsin, but around country. But before we get into maybe tomorrow, you know, I was reading end of the week, last week, Rainbow Land was outlawed in a school, a concert out here in Waukesha. And I said, wow, how can we not have rainbows in Waukesha? So in many ways, Waukesha is like ground zero for who we are as Wisconsinites. And I thought some background on Rainbowland, it would be great to have a couple of parents and a teacher join us to talk about what is going on in Waukesha. And I'm delighted and honored to have with me tonight Reverend David Simmons, Sarah Harrison. Good evening, folks.
Good evening.
So let's start with you, Reverend. What's the personal story that you bring or you can share with all of us so we got some idea of what's going on in Waukesha?
Yeah, sure. So my family moved here about 15 years ago when I became the pastor of St. Matthias Episcopal Church here in Waukesha. And we were really excited to move from the south, from Kentucky up here, especially because, you know, I spent a lot of time like studying Wisconsin when we were looking at this and the kind of progressive idea of Wisconsin, of on Wisconsin, of forward Wisconsin, of, you know, across the political divide, whether people were Republicans or Democrats. One of the members of my church, Lee Sherman Dreyfuss, was the governor of Wisconsin at one point, signed the first legislation in the nation that outlawed workplace discrimination against LGBTQIA people in 1982, and he was a Republican governor. So, you know, this is the history of Wisconsin, is that progressive, forward Wisconsin ideal that was so really attractive to us when we moved here. Likewise, the school system performed really well and was a clearly an open and accepting place, especially compared to where we were in western Kentucky at that point. So I think the change has been really noticeable for us. My daughter self-identifies as part of the LGBTQIA community, and we had a son already go through Waukesha West High School. So when we were Looking at the schools, we already knew that there were all these signs of acceptance in the schools. There were these pride flags. There were these open space or safe space signs that she would feel comfortable going to Waukesha West. And that changed almost literally overnight when the school board took a novel interpretation of an old policy and changed the way signage was taken care of. And
so what's the time frame for that?
Oh, gosh.
2 years ago?
Yeah, it was 2 years ago, and it happened literally within like a week. It was part of the issue that we can talk about if we want to, is how weirdly it was implemented and how unclear the policy was from the very beginning and continues to be. That the unclearness certainly follows into the whole Rainbow Land issue here.
What happened in terms of 2 years ago? What happened in terms of how did that play out in your house, in your home?
So the school board created this sign policy that outlawed anything that was a, quote, a political issue that was controversial. And all of a sudden, the interpretation was being in the LGBTQIA community and showing any support for it was a controversial political issue. It went from being identity to being some sort of a controversial political issue. And the way that played out is I immediately became concerned, because the first step whenever a population is going to be persecuted is to take away the visible signs of support for that community. We see that again and again and again throughout history. So I immediately sent something to both the principal at West and the administration saying, what you're going to see is an increase in discrimination against the LGBTQIA community, because you're removing a symbol of support. And when that happens, the people in that community, whether you're intending it or not, the people will feel less supported. And those who are bigoted against that community will feel that they've been emboldened to speak out. And unfortunately, that's exactly what's happened over the last 2 years. In my case,
wow.
Yeah. So in my case, my daughter, on October 1st, 2021, was with a group of kids in the Gay Straight Alliance who were sitting at a table in a cafeteria at Waukesha West. Another student in the GSA was handing out pride flags at that point. My daughter was sitting there. Somebody brought over this pride flag that they had written Trump 2024 and Blue Lives Matter on it and put it right in the middle of this group and started laughing. So it was obvious that they were being, it was a issue of LGBTQIA harassment. One of the kids in the group with her took a picture. So we have the picture for documentation. The other kid who dropped it and was part of a group that were standing around at that point picked it back up a little bit later and walked away. My daughter said that everybody was just kind of stunned at that point. They didn't know how to respond because they had never experienced that kind of overt harassment before. It was reported duly to the principal as it was supposed to be. I insisted that when the principal interviewed my daughter that he have me present, because I do not trust that administration is going to classify things in the way that they do. He asked her directly how she classified the incident. She said it was a hate crime, was the way that she classified it, reporting it to the principal. I asked several times after, how discipline was handled, was told that was none of my business, that they couldn't say anything because it would violate student
confidentiality,
even though I wasn't asking for names. I was just asking how the incident was handled. And I also asked how would it be classified when it was reported to the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, and was kind of told they wouldn't tell me that they hadn't classified it, et cetera. So I just waited until a few weeks ago when the DPI reports came out for 2021, 2022. And lo and behold, the official reporting of the school district of Waukesha to the Wisconsin DPI is that there were no reported incidents of same gender harassment in the entire school district for that school year.
So you know it wasn't reported.
Obviously, it was not reported. Even though, and the rubric for filling it out says you have to report them if they're verbally reported, if they're written reported, if they're alleged and withdrawn. It doesn't really matter. They have to be reported to the DPI. And the district did not report this. If my question is, gosh, if they didn't report this very clear incident, how many other incidents were not reported?
So, Sarah, your story.
Yeah. So I have two wonderful young humans. One is 16 now. One is 19 now. My 16-year-old is a sophomore at Waukesha South. And my 19-year-old is now a freshman at UW-Milwaukee. And in the last couple of years, they have been brave enough to come with me to multiple school board meetings and speak to the board about all the things that they're seeing and how it makes them feel to have this support withdrawn from their community. They both are non-binary, and they both are part of that LGBTQ plus community. And so first of all, I give them a lot of kudos, because I'm not sure when I was, I mean, my youngest was 14 when this first came around. I'm pretty sure when I was 14, I was not brave enough to go stand in front of a room full of adults in suits who look very intimidating and tell them why they're hurting me. That sounds real intimidating to me. The other side of what we're seeing is now that my oldest is off in college, they're seeing a lot of things that are almost like culture shock to them now, because they're seeing rainbows and they're seeing, you know, supportive messaging and supportive signage. And they're like, oh yeah, we used to have this, but it's truly like a culture shock to them now, because they got so used to that's an unusual thing that it still draws their eye even, you know, into their second semester.
So what were their stories that you can share?
Sure. Absolutely. So, they have had friends who were not comfortable being out necessarily at home, who were out at school. And now with this parental rights and transparency, so-called, which all the rights we already have, and I feel like it's not very transparent, but that's another issue. That resolution calls upon our staff to tell parents if students are identifying by, you know, a pronoun other than their assigned gender at birth. And so there's concern within the student population of, well, can I really be myself at school? Or does that mean that potentially that means I have to be ready to be out at home? And they, some of them are not ready for that. So these are kids who are already in a really difficult place in life. I mean, I wouldn't want to go back to being 15 or 16 years old for anything.
Yeah, I agree with you.
without that. And then you throw that on top, and it's an incredibly stressful situation for those kids who just want to be themselves.
Did the experience change when new policies were adopted? In other words, what was, you know, sort of the visceral changes? Yeah. What was going on in the schools?
Yeah.
Because we've heard a little bit about, right, Waukesha West.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you said your kids are at?
So my youngest is at South, and my elder went to North. So we've got all three high schools covered. I would say more of what they witnessed were frequent microaggressions is what I'm going to call it, where it wasn't necessarily a big, bold statement like what David is talking about here, but things like a flag getting ripped down off someone's locker, that kind of thing.
Okay. Folks.
And my daughter reports that that's happening. The microaggressions are happening.
We will be right back to talk much more with Reverend David Simmons, Sarah Harrison, talking about Rainbow Land and its abolition here in Waukesha. This is the Paul Revere Show.
Really make a difference in this world.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And no one knows this program like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution company. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients and have the expertise and experience to help you. One easy call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries of wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Make today the beginning of your fresh start with the IRS. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief now for your free confidential consultation.
Call 800-783-8055. That's 800-783-8055. 800-783-8055.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly clear skies tonight with a low of 48. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 76. Lows dip down to about 55 tomorrow night. Temperatures well above average Wednesday and Thursday with highs in the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is attorney Mark Thompson. This is WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. We are here and we're talking a very important issue, and just in terms of what is a safe school, what's a fair school, why, if we had laws passed as early as 1982 recognizing gay folks, their equal right, why are we sitting here at a time when we have an administration that is not allowing Rainbow Land to be played at a elementary school concert? And we were, just before the break, we were talking to Reverend David Simmons and Sarah Harrison. They were sharing their experience and their kids' experience. And Sarah, you were sort of talking about, you know, what happened mm-hmm. to the kids?
Mm-hmm. I think that really a lot of it came down to, you know, like we were talking about the microaggressions. So it's small things. It might be someone getting shoved in a hallway, someone, things that don't cause necessarily a life impacting, thing to happen. But when you add it all up, it becomes a pretty heavy load for these LGBTQ plus kids to bear, and for no reason other than who they are. It's not the way that I have taught my kids to treat other people, and it's not good treatment. It's not good citizenship to treat your fellow students in that way.
So how do you see fellow parents responding to these issues? How has that been playing out for the last couple of years?
Sure.
Sarah, and then we'll go to the Reverend, and then we'll have a new guest join us and give us a teacher's perspective.
Absolutely. So we've had a lot of parents who have been opposed to these policies from day one and have come to many meetings and spoken out against them, parents, teachers, students, community members. And there are those who also, on the other side, who think it's necessary, although I have not yet heard a well-articulated reason why. But there are definitely folks who, to be fair, there are folks on the other side, but we have been vocal. We have been writing and speaking and calling and doing all the things you're supposed to do to impact change. And it's all really fallen on deaf ears over the last couple of years.
So, Reverend, when you got into this and you started looking at the policy and what changed, what did you learn? Because I know that you've published on this and you've, I'm assuming you've given sermons about it.
Well, I mean, I generally, sermons have to do with you know, the way that we conceive that Jesus calls us to work on these particular ways. So I try to make a clear distinction between what I'm working on with public policy and what I'm doing as a preacher of the word, although that becomes difficult because quite often people who are opposing or who are supporting the policies the school board are pushing are bringing up religious reasons at the school board meetings. So occasionally I remind them that Jesus said not to judge and that he without sin cast the first stone or let the little children come unto me or any of the other things that Jesus actually said rather than, you know, this kind of idea that other people seem to have that Jesus basically supports whatever they think.
Before I turn the mic over for a mini sermon,
because yeah.
I think
yeah, be careful there.
I think it's appropriate this week. I mean, you know, those folks that hold themselves out as Christians just had Palm Sunday, and this is a very special week, and it would be appropriate to have that sermon. But going back to the public mm-hmm. policy,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And what did you see and what did you learn about that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Sarah has done more work on this than I have, of the idea that many of the policies that are being promulgated by the school board are not something that they're coming up with just out of nowhere. You can find similarities between the things that the school board and administration are putting out and several of the legislation that's coming out from different senators or in different places throughout the U.S. People it's not like this just showed up in Waukesha. It's something that's going on all over the U.S.
But what did you find out when this happened mm-hmm. to your family mm-hmm. and you went to the school board? What were you told in terms of what's the policy and why did the policy exist?
Well, I mean, the way they articulate the policy is it's because somehow these signs were disruptive to the learning environment. That's how it's couched, is that these signs were controversial and the controversy is not part of the curriculum, supposedly, you know, which I can argue on that too, but that was causing a disruption in the learning environment. However, I've never actually heard anybody present a time where that was disruptive.
Right. In other words, because the rainbows were there.
Yeah,
and there weren't problems until someone said we want to outlaw them.
That's what I would say. And you know, we've had, as Sarah was talking about, we've had scores of kids from the three high schools come to school board meetings and talk about how harmful the policy has been to them. I have yet to hear a single child come and talk about the impact of how it was before the signage policy was put into place. I've heard several angry adults talk about how they were offended by it, but I haven't heard a single student articulate how that was causing a disruptive learning environment for them. So on one side, you've got scores of kids coming before the school board regularly saying how harmful this is. And on the other side, some adults with some vague ideas. And unfortunately, that doesn't seem – the fact that we're dealing with LGBTQIA youth who are four times as more likely to commit suicide as the general population. That's documented information from the Trevor Project. These are kids at risk.
This is your Paul Revere Show. We'll be right back on the other side to talk from an educator's point of view what has happened here.
Together we can start living in.
The Sha 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. A mass shooting at Old National Bank in Louisville, Kentucky, leaves at least 4 people dead and 9 wounded. Interim Police Chief Jacqueline Gwynn Villarreal says of one of the injured...
Officer Nicholas Wilt, 26 years of age, just graduated from the police academy.
The shooter, who worked at the bank, is dead. Tennessee State Rep. Justin Jones is reinstated after being expelled by the GOP-led House last week over a gun protest. Nashville Mayor John Cooper told the governing council before today's vote,
"Let's give them their voice back, and I call on this body to vote unanimously right now to do just that."
As the Justice Department appeals a ruling by a Texas judge that would overturn the approval of an abortion drug, Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey signs an executive order.
Abortion, medication abortion, will remain safe, legal, and accessible here in the Commonwealth.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
News brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, your personal injury attorneys with over 35 years of experience. GTWLawyers.com. They're all in to win.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. People in Chautauqua and Cameron are mourning the deaths of 2 police officers who were killed in a shootout in northwest Wisconsin Saturday afternoon. The Wisconsin Justice Department says it started during a traffic stop near Cameron. Both officers died at the scene. The suspected shooter died at the hospital. Leading Republicans in Wisconsin say they're not changing their position on abortion, even though exit polling shows the issue was a factor when Janet Protasiewicz beat Dan Kelly in the Wisconsin Supreme Court election last week. Mark Jefferson is the executive director of the Wisconsin GOP. He tells the Journal Sentinel Republicans need better messaging and more effective campaigns. In sports, the Brewers are winners of 7 of their first 9 games. They play at Arizona tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a 6-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
The Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Jenny.
It's up to all of us. It's not just up to Democrats. Are we ready to rid our country of this perversion and deception? You know, are we sick of massacres at churches, grocery stores, theaters, concerts? Are we sick of adults forcing children who are raped into pregnancy? When is enough enough that we're going to vote out those fascists?
I'm putting you down for Caller Hall of Fame today. We have to carry these messages, even if the Democratic Party is incapable. You keep it up, sister.
Follow The Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. We are here every Monday night, 7 to 8, talking about the latest, what's happening, how to keep Wisconsin moving forward. Tonight we're talking about why we can't have Rainbow Land as a song in elementary school concerts here in Waukesha. Sort of the ground zero of what where we're going is particularly, I think, white folks in the state. Are we going to go towards equality, or are we going to buy into hate? And I've been joined, and it's a privilege to have Reverend David Simmons with me, Sarah Harrison, and I also have Monica Whaley. Hi, Monica.
Hello, Mark.
So you were a teacher, former teacher, that lived through this policy change. So from tell us, what was it like from the teacher's vantage point, and what can you share?
Sure. So my wife and I came here 11 years ago to come into a community that was far more diverse than where we had been. We have a daughter who is Black, and she was the only student in that school district. And so we wanted her to have more representation when we moved into this area. And Waukesha at the time had a great reputation for being diverse, for being inclusive, and for really just a great educational system. So we were happy to come to this district, and my wife left Menominee Falls and came here as well to teach. And then we had a new superintendent, and the ironic thing about Jim Siebert is when he was hired, he touted that he was for open-mindedness and embracing diversity. And in the last couple of years, the board has kind of swung far to the right, and so it has changed this whole environment here in Waukesha, especially in our district education.
How did you see that as a teacher?
So when I came here, I felt included as a member of the LGBTQ community, and I saw the signage that was up. Everyone is welcome. This is a safe space. And so those teachers who wanted to be there and be supportive for students were able to do that. Those that didn't think that they were qualified to do that, they didn't have their signs out, and that was fine. And these were actually given to the districts throughout the state from DPI more than 10 years ago. And so a lot of districts had them up to be welcoming. And when Siebert got here, things just changed drastically. We had in the district, it was called a DELT team. It was District Equity Leadership Team. So we had an administrator on there, and then a lot of the teachers on there to be kind of a think tank as to how we can be more inclusive and the things that we can do with the curriculum and with the environment in the school district to make it a safer place. And one of the first things that Siebert did was to disband a lot of the policies. So it was really kind of a shadow team of, you know, any kind of policies being enforced. And then a month later, he actually got rid of the equity leader. She had made a move from one school as a principal to take that position. And then within a month, she was out of a job. They found another job for her in the district, but the reason she left was to be that. And she's a person of color. And so racially, I think that this is not a healthy environment either. So it draws into question just how inclusive and diverse is this district.
So as a teacher, are you still a teacher now?
I retired in June early because just of the environment of not being welcoming and having hateful people. Parents who had called us heroes, you know, during the pandemic are suddenly now calling us villains and groomers because we're trying to take these kids who had been in this once-in-a-lifetime situation at home and not at school and not with their friends and, you know, bring them back in a healthy environment. And suddenly social, emotional learning is a hot topic, and we can't teach that to the kids. But these kids haven't had any of that for 2 years while they were out from the pandemic. And so it just got to be really hostile.
What do you think the attitude is amongst teachers and parents that you worked with? And how does this play out?
I think a lot of the teachers are really frustrated, and they are so burned out. I don't think a lot of people understand what teachers went through during the pandemic. We had to teach online, and we had to teach in person. And, I mean, it was double the workload. And then to come back and have this kind of environment was, it just burned you out. And not feeling like the administration and the Board of Education has your back when you're in the classroom, who would want to be in this situation? Last year, we saw more teachers leave than ever in this district because of that. We've had administration leave, especially people of color, BIPOC people, and LGBTQ teachers and administrators leave because of that.
Is there a sense that there is concern in the community about this?
There's a big concern about turnover.
So how do you see that play out?
Sure. So not only within the school districts, but as far as the economic viability of Waukesha, how are we going to draw in more businesses, more families, if we have this kind of an environment? I think we have been the laughingstock of the nation for a couple reasons. One was the food issue when the district was the only district in the state of Wisconsin that didn't take federal funding for meals for the kids. And the school board voted against that. And after huge outrage by parents, the board changed their mind on that. But again, we're going to be fighting that same battle this year.
So putting the mic back to you, Reverend. Have you heard theological reasons or arguments in support of the change of the policy? And is it consistent with, I think you said, Jesus's teaching? Or how does that play out? In other words, this is sermon moment.
Okay. So, I mean, yes, you will find in parts of the Christian community a belief that being LGBTQIA is completely incompatible with Scripture. I mean, you will hear people say that. The truth is there's not really much Scripture that even talks about this issue. Jesus is much more concerned about money and how people deal with their money than he is actually about human sexuality. But we tend to kind of gloss over that. But, you know, you talked about this being Holy Week, and, you know, one of the things that I think about on Holy Week is the question of, you know, if you're a believer, what did Jesus die for? There's a 13th century English mystic, Julian of Norwich, who has a vision, who sees this really horrific vision of Jesus dying on the cross, and then all of a sudden he comes to her whole and says, "Are you satisfied with what I've done for you?" So whereas a lot of people seem to have some sort of strange idea that Jesus had to die to assuage God's honor or to take care of the debt between humanity and God, you know, what Julian said is, it's not that, it's the wrath is in humanity, and Jesus came to take that wrath, our own wrath, away from it. So with that wrath, you know, I think that's what you see playing out so often, is people are working out of their own wrath here. And if you're a Christian, Jesus died back then to take that wrath away from us. So when we continue to indulge in that hate, when we continue to indulge in not letting people just be who they're created by God to be, we kind of blaspheme against the crucifixion of our Lord. So to me, it's really frustrating to hear people use Christianity and the Scripture as a way, as a stick to beat up LGBTQIA people or people of color or any other thing, because it's very clear to me that Jesus died for all of humanity.
Is there a sense that the broader community, Waukesha, is engaging in that kind of theological discussion about what does their policy, what should it look like?
I don't think there's a theological discussion so much. I mean, you'll find, you know, most people who are outside the church probably think that the majority of Christians believe that Jesus was anti-LGBTQIA. That's not true. I mean, if you look among most of, especially the mainline Protestants in Waukesha, you're going to find that most of us are openly affirming.
So how are mainline Protestants then addressing these policy issues?
Well, it's mostly in our own communities of just trying to make sure that we're as affirming as we can be. For a lot of us, I mean, there are a lot of us who are involved. For instance, I'm on the board of the new PFLAG group here.
So tell us, what is PFLAG?
PFLAG is a very old group. It's been around for decades, that basically is about education and support for parents, originally for parents. Oh, here, Oh, I've just been handed a PFLAG. Yeah, the first U.S. organization.
I was going to have Monica parents, weigh in on it,
families,
too.
And allies of LGBTQ individuals. They provide support and resources to this group and community members. So it's really designed to help, especially with parents who are struggling with their child who is coming out or going through transition. How do we help them in that case and understand what's going on with their children?
So, Monica, you pass that off. Do you participate in PFLAG, too?
Yes, I'm also on the board.
So how is PFLAG as a board, how are they involved in the community on this issue?
Well, it's a brand-new charter, and it was brought about by parents who have children who identify as LGBTQ, and they wanted to have resources because, of the struggle within the district of not being supportive. But also just how do we prepare ourselves for what our children are going to go through? How do we make environments more accommodating and friendlier for them? I went to the first meeting just to find out more about it, but also to see what kind of resources I can help them out with, too. Because as a teacher, as a special ed teacher, that's kind of what I do. I know resources, and I know where to go and where to send people. So, that was kind of my role. But I also want to say that, as far as when in teaching and with the PFLAG, too, is it's college and career. These kids are going to be coming out of college, and they're going to go to places like other universities and community jobs, and they're going to have a diverse environment there. How are we preparing them to handle those kind of diversities when we're just kind of whitewashing everything that happens in the district?
So when you heard about the concert and Rainbow Land not being allowed, what was your response? What was PFLAG's response?
I can't speak for PFLAG, but for myself as a teacher and somebody who identifies with the LGBTQ group, I was outraged, and even more outraged because I know the teacher that was involved in this, and she's compassionate. She's a huge advocate. She's written books on how to understand gender. And so to hear her get just lambasted with all of this in the community, it's very hurtful, knowing that it was with the best intentions. And really, rainbows? That's really? The hill you're going to die on.
Well, that's why we're sort of talking about it. The day before a major election, because it seemed to me it's, if nothing else, it's a First Amendment issue. And it strikes me as just remarkable that, it's being tolerated. Has anybody filed a lawsuit yet or?
Not that I'm aware of, but we're rounding up the horses.
So, here's it just. Before we go to the break, you said this teacher has been involved, written books. What has she done?
She's just been a tremendous advocate as a teacher, but also as somebody who is a straight woman who just has a passion for understanding and making the environment safe for all children.
For everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. What is her name?
Melissa
Temple.
I wanted
to give a shout out. So
yes,
yeah. You're right. She's made national press. So
she has.
This is your Paul Revere Show, folks. We are here talking about a very important issue. We'll be back on the other side of the break to talk more.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese and Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop.
Home of buttery popcorn treats and make your mouth water.
Caramel, cookies and cream, strawberry shortcake, and more. civicmedia.us/shop.
Part of the proceeds benefit Wisconsin athletic programs.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 48. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. High of 76. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Lows dip down to about 55. Tomorrow night, clear skies. Temperatures well above average Wednesday and Thursday, with highs in the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Welcome back. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are talking about the issue of how is it possible that Rainbow Land is a song that can't be performed by elementary kids in Waukesha. I've talked a little bit about the history of it, you know, that it's just like remarkable. But Sarah Harrison, we've talked about your kids. So where did these policies come from, and how is, you know, tell us about WISRED and how it's gotten involved.
Yeah. So WISRED is part of the Waukesha County Republican Party, and they have put a lot of money into our last couple of Waukesha school board races. And we have seen that their candidates have taken over our board. And now that we have a very politically aligned board, we're seeing these things come across. And we know this issue is not something that came from organic parental concern. I mean, you could deduce that just based on content commonalities between the SDW parental rights and transparency resolution, with legislation introduced by folks like Josh Hawley, Tom Cotton, and our state level Republican Wisconsin legislators as well. But we don't really have to play detective, because they're kind of saying the quiet part out loud an awful lot lately. Last year, we saw 100 books challenged in our district. 18 of those books weren't even in our libraries. So this is not a kid bringing home a book and a parent saying, oh, I'm concerned about this content. This list had to come from somewhere, and it didn't come from our schools. And a lot of those books had LGBTQ content or had race relations content. Those were the two strong trends that we saw across there. And the other thing that confirms it is, if you want to look at the opening sentence of the SDW resolution and compare it to a template that you can download from the Moms for Liberty website, which is a conservative organization with strong ties to such high-ranking Republicans as Ron DeSantis, Rick Scott, Betsy DeVos, and also some national anti-LGBTQ groups, including the Heritage Foundation. If you look at the first sentence of each of those two documents, there are only two words that are different, and they do not make a material difference in the meaning. So I don't think you have to be a detective to know that is not a coincidence. They are definitely being, they are molding in these political views into our public school policies, and it's not okay.
Well, I mean, you mentioned WISRED. This is a new phenomenon. It is not like the traditional, I would say, like, traditional George Bush Republican.
Sure.
Right? I mean, or, you know, this is not, certainly not an Eisenhower Republican view. Frankly, yeah. It's probably not even a Ronald Reagan view. But how does that policy get played out? And how has what? And then let's talk particularly, how has the administration responded to, you know, Rainbow Land?
Well, they first sent out press release just kind of saying, well, fortunately, we could still do the Rainbow Connection, so everything's okay. And that was basically about all they said. And then this past week on Thursday, there was a communication that went out to all parents that was really flabbergasting to me as a person who has studied communications as well as a parent, because they were just taking no responsibility for any of the decisions. They actually stated in their document that the school board and the administration did not make this decision, but we definitely stand behind it. And it was very talking out of both sides of their mouth and throwing the staff and the teachers under the bus. And in fact, there was even like a, well, this really should have been dealt with on, you know, inside the schools under policy XYZ. And my feeling is this really shouldn't have ever come up, because they shouldn't have created a toxic environment where teachers are afraid to say the word rainbow without the superintendent's permission. So that's how I would see it.
So, Reverend Simmons, during the break you had mentioned rainbows and Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
So what is that story, and how does that, you know, play out here in 2023 in Waukesha?
You know, I remember I grew up in South Central Kentucky in the 80s, and my mother was an elementary music teacher. And so we would learn all sorts of songs, and I cannot tell you, I mean, I could probably come up with four songs off the top of my head that were all about rainbows that we sang regularly. So the idea that the environment has become so toxic, it's gotten to the point, because of the way the policy has been implemented, that a local administrator at a school believes that they have to go to the school superintendent to talk about a song about rainbows, because they're afraid of what will happen, not just because something might happen, but because there's been actual disciplinary action taken against teachers for continuing to display rainbow stuff. So this is the ridiculousness of the situation, is that a first grade teacher has to go to the principal, who has to go to the superintendent of the entire school district in order to ask if they can sing a song about rainbows. And then there's a whole bunch of rigmarole where they substitute one rainbow song for another, even though their lyrics have no real difference. I mean, and they still won't articulate. I mean, the school district still, we've asked them repeatedly from multiple people, what is the objectionable content in Rainbow Land? And they will not answer that question.
Right. Folks, how is Rainbow Land dangerous to your children? Think long and hard. If you come up with an answer, please, please, please call the school. So, Sarah, I know that you're out there politically. Reverend Simmons has limitations on what he can say about just... Sure. On the partisan issue.
I cannot endorse candidates.
Right.
But
I mean, it's a very important, I mean, it's part of our separation of church and
exactly.
state. I mean, it's
right.
So, but we do have a huge election tomorrow, Sarah, right? We have a Supreme Court race and we have a school board race here in Waukesha that impacts these First Amendment issues. So,
yes.
What can you say on that issue?
So,
At
the Supreme Court level, Janet Protasiewicz is our hope for a future where Wisconsin can continue to go forward, as Dr. Simmons was saying earlier, as Father Simmons was saying earlier. And here in Washington.
He wasn't endorsing a candidate.
No, he was candidate. Oh, I'm sorry.
We got 30 seconds.
Forward.
I don't want to miss it.
Diane Voigt is your candidate in Waukesha. And if you're in Elmbrook, Preetha and David Irwin are your candidates for reasonable school board members.
Folks, this is your Paul Revere Show. This is April 3rd, 2023. April 4th, 2023 is probably the biggest Supreme Court, state Supreme Court election in the history of Wisconsin. If you care about your children, if you care about your future, get out and vote. And vote early, because they're saying the weather may be nasty later, and you know how it is in Wisconsin. So thank you. We'll see you next week.
Max Inc. Radio presents Bob Blastica 2023. It's Max Inc.'s 27-year anniversary party, and you're invited. Bob Blastica at the Wisco on Willie Street, Saturday, April 15th. Max Inc. Radio's Jimmy K. Rocker and Terry Barr will broadcast live 6 to 9 p.m. Then live music from Eclipse record recording artist Carbellion. With special guest, Milwaukee's Wizard Hammer. And Mad City's own hard rockers, Iron Plow. It's Bob Blastica 2023, Saturday, April 15th at the Wisco in Madison. Sponsored by Rocker Vodka and Hotel K Pet City. Presented by Max Inc. Radio. We are.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.